To our topic this morning, the new covenant, and go back to Romans 11. And we've been saying that the main points using the question words, that the new covenant, who was it made with? It was made with Israel. And when was it made? It will come into force in a future day when Israel is restored. But the foundation, how it was ratified, or the foundation was laid with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, the foundation of the new covenant through His death. And we used the example of somebody that writes a will, and how the Lord is a mediator of a new covenant. And so thinking a little more about the when, we see in chapter 11, again picking up where we left off last time, that there's a blindness has happened to Israel. Verse 7, Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. And so there is a sense that the Lord is still... Some Jews are being saved today. Some are being saved. Some are believing. The gospel is still being believed by some Jews, but primarily by Gentiles. And then it goes on to say, because now God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. And that's because of their rejection of the Lord the first time. But someday He will restore them. And then the idea that there will be... We mentioned about all Israel being saved in verse 26. And again, that doesn't mean every individual Jewish person, but it means the nation will be saved. And we know from the book of Zechariah, a remnant of one third will be saved. They will believe on the Lord and they will be refined and go through that time. And then at the end, they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that in the book of Zechariah. So not all, but when it says all, it means all Israel. It means a nation Israel will be saved in that future day. And if you look at the course of Israel's history in the Old Testament, you see that, again, that salvation was still individual by grace through faith. And so even though Israel was God's people, and when they were faithful, they had earthly blessings, salvation was still individual. And so at times they were very apostate. And so Elijah at one time asked the question, thinking he was the only one still belonged to God. And the Lord said, no, there's 7,000 others that have not bowed their knee to Baal. But you look over their course of history, there was a lot of unbelievers in Israel. And in that future tribulation period, again, just like there is now, most of Israel are unbelievers. In the tribulation period, they will mostly be unbelievers then too. And they will not be saved. But there will be a remnant that will be saved. And that's what it's from that the Lord will restore the nation. And that's the beginning of the nation of Israel that will enter the millennial period. And so it's the nation of Israel that will be saved. But it was always God's plan to bless the nations through Israel. And so He will do that. And we get an indication of that in verse 15. Speaking of Israel, he says, for if their casting away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? And what it's saying there is that if being cast away, we see this many Gentiles being saved during this church age. What will it be like when Israel's restored? And so what we see in the church with people being saved, Gentiles being saved, added to the church, when the Lord restores Israel, there will be many Gentiles that are blessed, and many Gentiles will, as we enter the millennial period, the sheep are the initial Gentiles from Matthew 25, but there will be many born during the millennial period, of course, during those 1,000 years, and many Gentiles will, of course, be believers on the Lord, and there'll be great blessings for the nations, for the Gentiles. And so, in a sense, there will even be a greater harvest of Gentiles during that time than there is during the church age. And so it says, They're being cast away. That's Israel is the reconciling of the world. What's it going to be like with their from life from the dead? It's going to be even more greater and more magnificent, more greater numbers. And so we see again the blessings that we see pictured in the Abraham's covenant, the blessings that will go through the whole earth. We mentioned that there's a Daniel 70th week, 69 weeks from Daniel 9 has been accomplished, and that's why we know the church will not go through the tribulation, because the Daniel 70th week pertains to Israel. It's part of a prophetic word for Israel, so we won't be there, the church won't be there when this is enacted. But the church will be there during the millennium, of course. We're raptured before the tribulation. We come back with Christ when he sets up his kingdom. And so there will be these three people groups, the church and the nations and Israel. And we're going to explain that a bit more. But I'd like to just look at Daniel 7 and verse 13. And by all means, if you have any questions after, please feel free to ask me. Some of this is very not easy stuff to put together. And Daniel 7, now, and Daniel, there was a vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in a dream. And Daniel, of course, Nebuchadnezzar said that if his wise men didn't give him the not only the meaning of the dream, but what the dream it was itself, he was going to have them killed. And Daniel and his companions were involved, like would be part of that. And Daniel and his friends prayed to the Lord, and the Lord revealed the meaning of the first what the dream was, and then the meaning of it to Daniel. And Daniel was able to give both the dream and the meaning to the king. It was an image of a great image made out of gold and, you know, like the silver and the bronze and then the clay. And it spoke of all the kingdoms to the end of time. And so Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that the gold is your kingdom, Babylon, and it would be followed by the Medes and Persians. And of course, history has shown that. And then the Greek under Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And then we see that the Roman Empire would be resurrected in a future day. And at the time of the end, and with the toes, and then we see a kingdom from without. A stone comes, and here's a very key point. All these things, these kingdoms, are part of the same image. So it shows that they are of man; they are of this world. But the stone comes from outside of the image. It's not part of the image. It's outside of the image. And so it's not of this world. It's of divine origin. And that stone will come and crush the toes. So it shows when it will happen. It will happen during the last resurrected Roman Empire. It will hit the toes. And it will cause the whole image to come crashing down. And what it was saying that this will all these kingdoms that will be from Daniel's time to the end of time will be replaced by this stone, and it speaks of Christ's kingdom that he will set up on earth, and it will be of divine origin. Now again, these kingdoms are symbolized in chapter 7, and some have suggested chapter 2 with the beautiful image is from man's standpoint, but chapter 7 with the beasts portraying the same kingdoms, it looks at it from God's standpoint. These are imperfect. They're not good kingdoms, and they're not perfect, and they're not of divine origin. So it's from God's viewpoint. But the point is that these kingdoms will eventually be gone, and this is referred to as the times of the Gentiles. We mentioned the fullness of the Gentiles this morning. That speaks of the completion of the church. The times of the Gentiles is the times when Israel will either be under occupation or under threat of occupation, and when the Gentiles are ruling this world. And Israel, as a nation, is still despised today. Jewish people, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. It's even getting worse today. We see it in colleges and universities in North America. We see it in the media. And we see a greater anti-Semitism. But what's going to happen in that future day will not be a times of the Gentiles. It will be the time of Israel. And the Lord is going to set up his kingdom. And the stone that came and it and it caused a mountain to form, and it filled the whole earth, says in Daniel 2. And so this kingdom will be all over the earth, and nobody's ever had a kingdom over the whole earth. There was a time when they've had close to it, but the kingdom that the Lord sets up will have no part of this world that is not under his authority. And it will be through Israel. Israel will be the favored nation. They will be the world where the center of the world, and Jerusalem will be its capital, and the Lord will reign from Jerusalem, and people will have a favorable view of the Jewish people, and the Lord will reign. And so we see here that the times of the Gentiles will be over, because now what's got to happen for blessing to come to this world is for Israel to be in a right relationship with God. The reason, and you could say two main reasons the world is in disorder right now, is number one, Israel is not the favored nation. They're not in their place. They're not in fellowship with God, because it's through them all the nations are going to be blessed, and primarily through the one Jewish man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the other thing that's out of order is that man is not ruling today. You see, the Lord told Adam, you are to have dominion over the whole earth. And he forfeited it through sin. And now the prince of the power of the air, the devil, is influencing and controlling nations. And man is not ruling. We do not yet see everything under his dominion, as Hebrews 2 says. But someday man will rule again, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then order will be back in place, where man is ruling on behalf of God. And it will be the one who is the Son of God or the Son of Man. And in Daniel 7, here we see this phrase, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It means it will never end, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. That image was destroyed, but the stone that cut the kingdom, will never be destroyed. The mountain will fill the earth, and it will be forever, and it will completely rule the earth. But what's key here is the term Son of Man. And here's the great sin of Israel. That's why they are a perverse, faithless generation. I mentioned this morning the prophecies of Isaiah, how they should have seen this. This is fitting the resume of the coming Messiah. Isaiah said what you should look for, and it was right there before their eyes, and they saw it and they understood it, and yet for their own selfish purposes, they attributed his works to the devil. And then the Lord said, that's it. The kingdom is delayed. But another reason they should have recognized is this term that the Lord constantly used. Now, he used the term Son of Man because he became a human. But I would suggest to you there's another reason he used that term Son of Man. And we find it here prophesied that he is the one who would come. And so he was saying, here I am, Daniel prophesied of me, I am the Son of Man, here in Daniel 7. And they should have recognized him as the promised one. He is the Son of Man. And so their sin was great. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And they rejected the one who was the king. And so there's much more we could say about Daniel, and I could recommend some books for you too on the book of Daniel. That would be very, very helpful. And so we see here this in Daniel. Now, we mentioned the when, and of course, we turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 8. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And we know from chapter 14, the Lord himself is going to come and set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. He's going to come back himself and lead the fight. But listen to verse 10. Now here's the stupor or their blindness is away. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem like the mourning at Hadad Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. And I believe that's referring to Josiah's death. And the land shall mourn every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by himself and their wives by themselves. And it goes on to show there's going to be both a national repentance and a individual repentance. And Israel as a nation will be restored to the Lord. And in another place, it says that there will be one third of the nation that will be saved. So this is going to happen at the end of Daniel's 70th week. When the Lord comes back, he's going to come back with you and I. We've been raptured. We've gone to be with the Lord 7+ years earlier. We don't know exactly how many because there's probably a bit of a gap between the rapture and the signing of the covenant that initiates the 70th week of Daniel. But we will be in heaven. We will have gone through the judgment seat of Christ. We will be coming back as the bride of Christ to reign with Christ. And so the Lord's going to set up his kingdom here at the end of Daniel's 70th week. And that will usher in the 1,000-year millennial reign of our Lord Jesus. And what will happen during then? So this comes into what is the new covenant? And we get an indication of some of that, what the new covenant is by what we are going through. Because as I said, even though the covenant was not made with us, we are enjoying the pre-enactment blessings of the covenant. And so I would suggest to you four main spiritual blessings of the new covenant. Let's turn to Isaiah 59 and verse 20. And we will see what these four are in a couple of references. Isaiah 59 and verse 20. The Redeemer will come to Zion and turn to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. And he's referring again to the new covenant. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Here's an encouragement to Israel that they will be restored forever, never to fall away. Now, how do we know that they will not fall away? Well, the same reason we can't fall away in our position anyways and in the future and practice is this, that we are secure in Christ. We are born again. We have received the Holy Spirit. We cannot lose our salvation. And here he says, my spirit is going to be upon you. So they will be saved forever. Turn to Jeremiah 31, where we were earlier. Jeremiah 31. Verse 33, but this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So there's the, it's a way of saying to be born again, to be regenerated. That Paul uses that term in Romans 8 when he says that we don't try to please the Lord by following a law on tablets, but the law is written on our hearts. And so as we gaze upon Christ and we walk in the Spirit, the law will be fulfilled within us as we follow the Lord. But this is another way of saying Israel will be regenerated, that these believing remnant will be born again, and they will have the Holy Spirit. Turn to Ezekiel 36. We see both these things mentioned in Ezekiel 36. The idea of receiving the Holy Spirit and to be born again. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. Okay. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Speaking of regeneration, being born again. And then here we see they will receive the Holy Spirit. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So this remnant that is saved at the end of the tribulation period that will go into the kingdom will be regenerated or be born again, like you and I as believers are now, and they will receive the Holy Spirit, which we have received as well. And so they will receive the Holy Spirit. And because the Word of God says so right here. Another aspect of course, is forgiveness. And we read in Hebrews 8 and chapter 8 and also chapter 10, quoting from the book of Jeremiah, that part of the new covenant is the forgiveness of sins. We mentioned that the old covenant could only cover sins, but the new covenant says, I will forgive your sins. They will be remitted. They will be taken away. They will be like that goat on the Day of Atonement, that scapegoat that went into wilderness never to return, taking the sins away. That pictured not what Israel was experiencing at that time, but what would be accomplished by Christ in a future day. These goats spoke of what Christ would accomplish when he would take our sins away. And so there's no more remembrance of sin. So three main things in the new covenant is receiving the Holy Spirit, being regenerated, being born again, and having our sins taken away forever, never to be brought up again. The Lord will not remember them anymore. And then the fourth thing is resurrection, which includes, when we speak of resurrection, that speaks also of glorification, to receive a glorified body. And so what about resurrection? How does the Word of God portray that? Well, there's a mistaken impression by some that there's a general resurrection of everybody. But we see from the Word of God that there's two categories of resurrection. So just to explore that, turn to Daniel chapter 12. I will read three references and then I will explain. Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Meaning those who are believers. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's a principle, and we see this often in Scripture. There's sometimes, even though two things are mentioned in Scripture, there's a gap in between them. There can be a gap. And I would suggest to you, there's a gap between those who are raised to life and those who are raised to everlasting contempt. Those who are unbelievers. Because there is a resurrection of unbelievers as well. Verse 3 speaks that those who are raised to life are going to be glorified. They shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So we see the glorification aspect of resurrection. John 5, the Lord spoke of these two categories as well in John chapter 5. Again, showing there's a gap between the two. John 5 and 28. John 5:28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. So everybody's going to be resurrected, but some who have done good, meaning those who are believers, to the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil, who are unbelievers, to the resurrection of condemnation. Of course, he's not saying we're saved by our works, but he's saying those who are saved are characterized by good, and those who are not are characterized by evil. And there's no greater evil than rejecting the Savior, the sin of unbelief. But we see here there's two resurrections, some to life and some to death, to condemnation, to punishment. But is there a gap between the two? How do we know that? We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter that speaks the most about resurrection in the New Testament. First Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. That man, of course, being the Lord Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. So what we see here in this chapter is that there's a order. Now, Pentecost put it this way. He said that there will be a division in the resurrection program. It's suggested by the phrase, but every man in his own order. The word order, according to Robertson and Plummer, is a military metaphor. It means company, troop, band, or rank. We are to think of each corps or body of troops coming on in its proper position. And so it's shown that there's an order to resurrection. And so it's not all going to happen at the same time. And so we see that Christ was rose from the dead the first. He was the first fruits. And then it says those that are Christ at his coming. Who are the ones who are Christ at his coming? Well, in the word of God, when it says those who are in Christ, it's speaking of the church. But when it speaks of those who are Christ, I would suggest to you this takes in a greater number of people. That would take in the Old Testament saints. It would take in the tribulation saints who are martyred for the faith. And it would take in those who are part of the remnant and the sheep. The Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints and the church are all part of Christ at his coming. Now it's taking in a broader picture of his coming. It takes in both the rapture when the church is resurrected, and it takes in the time when the Lord comes back with his church at the end of the tribulation period, when Israel is restored. There will be a resurrection of the Old Testament saints as well as the tribulation saints that died during Daniel's 70th week. And so they will be resurrected as well. And how do we know that? How do we know they will be resurrected? Well, that verse we read in Daniel was speaking of the Jewish people. And of course, it's speaking of resurrection. And so we know the remnant is not going to be resurrected at that time because they are alive. They've come out of the tribulation. They're the believing remnant. So they won't be resurrected at that time. They're alive at that time. And so it's speaking of the Old Testament saints, the ones that who are the Lord's people, as well as the tribulation saints. It also mentions this in Revelation chapter 20. And again, it distinguishes between the two resurrections. Verse 4, I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for their witness to Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. In other words, they were resurrected. They had died for not taking the mark of the beast. They had gone through the tribulation, and they hadn't gone all the way through. They were martyred for the faith, and so now they are living. They are resurrected, and they're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But then it says in verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he who is a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So there's a different terms used. Here's the term of the first resurrection versus the one that will occur at the end of the millennial period when every single unbeliever will be resurrected. So we see here that there's a gap between the unbeliever and the believer when they are resurrected. The unbelievers will be resurrected when? Verse 7, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil is released from his prison after the 1,000 years, and he deceives these into rebelling. And then we see that in verse 11 to 15, there's a great white throne judgment. And so there's a resurrection of all the unbelievers who will stand before the Lord to be judged for their sins. And the Bible says they will be cast into the lake of fire. And so nobody wants to be part of that resurrection. We want to be part of the first resurrection. But in the case of the church, the first resurrection here is for the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. But for the church, we've already, because remember, we said we enter into the pre-enactment of the new covenant blessings. We will be resurrected at the rapture ahead of the new covenant. But here, the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints will be resurrected. The remnant will go into the... they will not have died. They will go into the millennial period alive and make up the beginning of the new nation of Israel. The nations, the sheep who were believing during the tribulation and showed up by their works that they helped out the believers, these individuals will go into the millennial period and make up the nations of the millennial period. And then there will, of course, be millennial born saints, and the Bible seems to indicate it will be a time of great prosperity. And some of these things now that I mentioned, you have to kind of derive them. They're not specifically said in Scripture, but you have to make some logical conclusions, and you have to tread lightly because you can't be dogmatic about it. But I'm beginning a chart, and I may bring this because I'll be here next week because I'm hosting Joseph Frimpong, so I'll be here next week, and I'll try to have a chart ready I can hand out. But I'm beginning a chart where it shows different people groups and when they will be regenerated, when they will be resurrected and glorified, or when they will just be glorified only. Because I would suggest to you the millennial born saints, and maybe we could use the term millennials, you know, that maybe that'll be the new millennials, but the millennial born saints will be born, and so they're going to be natural people like you and I are now, and they're going to procreate. So there you have Israel, the nation, and you have the nations, and they're going to be natural people like you and I. But then there'll be another class of people like you and I will be glorified. And so we'll have the glorified Old Testament saints with the glorified church, the glorified New Testament, or the tribulation saints. So these will be glorified during the millennial period. But then during the millennial period, there'll be natural people like you and I are now. And that will be Israel, the remnant, and the people born to them. And then the nations and the people born to them. And they will procreate. And because, as we read, part of we've been talking about spiritual blessings, but there's physical blessings that will come to the earth. That you can read through the book of Isaiah and Amos and others to see that. It will be a time of economic prosperity. It will be a time of no war. It will be a time of peace. It will be a time of peace in the animal kingdom. It will be a time of good health, and there will be no sickness. And I kind of derive from that no believer will die during that time. Now, there will be some die who are unbelievers. The Bible says the Lord will reign with a rod of iron. And so if the penalty deserves death, there will be death. If it deserves something else, there will be receive that. But there will probably be death, but it will be for those who rebel against the Lord's rule. But then there will be those secretly rebelling, and we've just read about them in the book of Revelation. They will outwardly toe the line because they have to. But at the end, when the devil comes to deceive, they will try to take the opportunity to... we mentioned hardened hearts this morning. They will have hard hearts. They will be in their hearts rebelling. And when they have the opportunity, they will go against the Lord. But, of course, the Lord will put them down right away. So I would suggest to you, for the believers, like those that are believers, so the believers will be the remnant that comes into the tribulation. They're regenerated. They're safe. They're not going to rebel. And the nation, for those from the nations that come into the millennial period, they're not going to rebel. They're also regenerated. But those who will rebel are those born to them over the decades and centuries. And there'll be, of course, because of the economic times, great prosperity, and there'll be great population. Who can imagine how many billions of people there will be over the course of 1,000 years? And if few are dying, it's going to be a tremendous population explosion. And so I suggest to you, the reason reason I believe there would not be any death of the believer during the millennial period is there does not seem to be another resurrection of the just. You see, it says that those that are Christ at his coming, it seems to be the church and then the Old Testament saints and the tribulation church, saints. But there does not seem to be another resurrection spoken of at the end of the millennial period other than for all the unbelievers. And so it's possible there could be another resurrection. Maybe if a believer died during the millennial period, then of course they would have to be resurrected at the end of the millennial period. But since the Bible does not talk about it, I would suggest to you that the believers will remain throughout the whole 1,000 years because there's just the resurrection of the unbelievers at the end of that time period. And so the question could be asked during when the millennial period is over. That is when the devil rebels, or is loosed, and the people rebel. And then we see Revelation 21 and 22, what's referred to as the eternal state. And that's we see some blessings there. And it's very mysterious, not very understandable. But we do see all three people groups mentioned, the nations and the church and Israel. And we see I believe it's the foundations of the gates have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, while the foundation has the names of the 12 apostles. And I suggest to you that the people groups will still be distinguished throughout all eternity, but it won't be significant difference between them. Now, some would disagree. Some will say that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will not be for those who are of the nations or those that are born during the millennial period. And that's fair. You can't be dogmatic about it. But I personally, because I feel it in the looking at the Revelation 21, 22, that even though there's still the distinctions, I think because there's no more, you know, no more tears, no more crying, no more death, I believe everybody will be equal in the blessings of having the Holy Spirit and being glorified. But, you know, you can't be dogmatic about that. So I'm working on a chart. Maybe I'll bring it to you next week. I plan on doing that or putting it in the magazine as well. But I was just trying to think through it. And I was trying to look for commentators. Not many people speak about these things. So maybe I shouldn't either. But I just my curious mind, I was just thinking, well, you know, what like regeneration, how does that affect, you know, the nations? When will the nations be regenerated like you and I are now? Or what about the millennial saints? And what about, do they all have the Holy Spirit? Now, some very godly men would say, no, they would not. That's something that's unique to the church. But I would suggest to you, well, we've seen Israel, the remnant will get it as well. But I would suggest to you that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit does not also mean that obviously that the nations will not be baptized into the body of Christ. That's unique to the church. But I think they could have the Spirit indwell them as Israel, the remnant, will have the Spirit, but they're still not part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church, and that's completed at the rapture. So Israel, the nation, the believing nation, will have the Holy Spirit, as we read in Jeremiah, but they're not part of the body of Christ. They're not part of the bride of Christ. And so that is closed. So those are just a few thoughts and speculations. But I'm just trying to think through these things and see I'll see what I can come up with and give it to you next week in a chart when I'm here. So let's. And by all means, if you have any questions after, feel free to talk with me after. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you that what you have given to us. But we also know there's some things you have not revealed to us, and it's we can maybe derive some things from putting pieces together. But we also know that we can't be sure about all these things. But there are many things we can be sure of that are written in your Word, and we know the remnant will be saved someday. That the Israel as a nation will be saved, and there will be 1/3 that will enter the millennial period, and they will have the Holy Spirit, and they will be born again. And Father, we also know that we as a body of Christ, we have been born again, and someday we will either be glorified or resurrected, Father. But we rejoice that our position is secure. And yes, Father, there's some things we can't know right now, but we just ask for your help to have a greater understanding of these prophetic things. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.